I suppose that my mother intended it to be a word of love when she said it, but I can remember countless times that she said to me, "Would you please use your head for something besides a hat rack?" Have any of you had that said to you before? Yeah, Joey raises his hand, of course. What she was trying to say is, think about it. And that was a word of love. Think about it. Because we are creatures who can think. There is something about human beings that continually the processes of thinking are going on. And we just cannot stop that. We think, we reason, we ponder, and we have questions. Now remember, we're talking a little bit about how do we know who to trust? How do we know who God is? And we've talked about how God is a loving God who reveals God's self to us, that this is out of the heart of God, out of the mind of God even, and we are made and blessed by God. And we talked about how the Scripture is a special and unique word of God that finds its power and source in Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And we talked a little bit last week about how the history of the church, the history of God's people, even the history of Methodists, give us insights in what it means to be godly people and help shape and form our thinking and our understanding of who God is. But we all know that in the midst of all of this, we still have questions. And we still know that we don't understand everything. Now, let me ask you a question. You can raise your hand to this. Have you ever had a doubt about something about God? Raise your hand. All of us have doubts. We have questions. We have things that we don't understand. We even have questions that we would like to go face to face with God about, because they are so important to us and they are so perplexing. They just don't add up. Well, being United Methodist Christians means that your brain is not to be put on hold. Part of what it means to be a faithful follower and disciple of Jesus Christ as a United Methodist means that your brain, your thinking, your reason is to be honored and to be appreciated and to be used and to be accepted. And that means some very specific things. First, it means that when you have doubts or serious questions or something you don't understand, that is not a sign of being far from God. Indeed, it is a sign of how much God loves you. It seemed to me that Jesus was always willing to sit down with people and answer questions. He didn't always answer them the way they wanted it to be answered. Part of the problem sitting down with God is that sometimes you're not going to like the answer. But the reality is that questions are one of the ways in which we grow. And really, it comes down to what you do with your questions and what you take from them. If you are asking questions in order to trip somebody up, or if you're asking questions in order to make somebody look bad, or if you're asking questions in order to somehow pass on your agenda, you're likely not to get the answers you want, and you're also not really asking questions the way a Christian would question. To be a faithful follower of Christ and to question God and to look for answers about God, one comes wanting nothing more than to have the God's honest truth. You want to know the truth, and that is your agenda. If you are looking for reasons not to believe or reasons to condemn God, it is not going to be a satisfactory experience. But if your experience and understanding of God has led you to a place, as you journey with God and you love God and you experience God's love, then asking questions is a marvelous way to grow in Christ. I will give a personal sort of example of this. I don't know how many of you struggle with the issues of identity. Who am I and what am I supposed to do? Well, I do all the time. It's kind of one of those things I seem to always have to deal with. Well, last year, as I was struggling with some of these questions, wondering, you know, who am I? Am I the person people say I am? Am I the person I think I am? Am I somebody different? Who am I, God? And I kind of said it in frustration. I want to know. I'm not satisfied. I doubt you care about me if you can't give me this answer. So, who do you say I am? Who do people say I am? And Peter and the disciples were all saying, well, you're Elijah or John the Baptist or a prophet. And then finally Jesus says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're Jesus, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're God's chosen. And it's when I read those words, well, who do you say I am, that all of a sudden I began to realize that the answer to my question, who am I, is wrapped up in who I say Jesus is. And I haven't figured out, and I haven't reasoned out what all of that means, but I know I need to. We are not supposed to be a brain-dead people. To be a faithful follower of Jesus does not mean that you have to turn your thinking off. Indeed, it means you need to discipline your thinking very carefully. And you need to discipline your thinking in several ways. One, there is a certain amount of question asking you need to do when you hear information out in the world. Like, who is saying this? Why are they saying this? One of my favorite questions is, where's the money in all of this? You ask questions to find out what's going on and what's really happening. Just because somebody says it, and just because somebody has official sounding references, or just because, like in the commercials, they say emerging science suggests, that doesn't mean that it's true. And yet we are bombarded with all these sort of half claims to truth. And so we need to be a little careful, maybe even a little skeptical of claims that are made in cloudy ways, in sort of half-hearted ways. We need to ask questions. We need to doubt some of those things. And we need to be able to then pursue the truths that we're seeking with a certain amount of confidence that we can discern where we're being fooled or where we're not. And the second part of that is that we always need to be shaping our thinking to the foundational reality that comes in God. And it's been the theme of our singing and our worship today. It is about God's love. It is about a God of love reaching out in love, giving His Son in love, who dies on a cross in love, and who is raised again for love's sake, and who gives the Spirit to spread love, to show us love, to guide us in love. And it is as if our thinking has a logic in love. It's not the logic of materialism. It's not the logic of spiritualism. It's not the logic of anything else. It is the logic of love. And so our minds are not strictly rational. They are guided by love. To have the mind of Christ, to have the mind of God, is ultimately to have a mind of love. In frustration, some people have said, love has its own reasons. And who can figure it out? Precisely. God's love is the overwhelming reality that we experience. And our thinking is going to continue to be formed by that love. As we figure out who God is and who we are in relationship to God, let us journey with our minds as well as our hearts, as well as with tradition, as well as with the Scripture. Let us share the journey together, because it is in conversation that we hear what others think and we receive insights that maybe we had not had before. And let us at all times understand that we are a people who have been given a brain to use. And let us use it. Let us pray.